We are thankful for the privilege that we have to enjoy, I put it that way, another service of communion today. I say enjoy because, believe me, if Jesus didn't die, and didn't leave for us an example of what we ought to follow, as the Bible says, we would be miserable men and women, because there's no hope. No hope. I'm just thankful that we have the privilege of enjoying another communion service here today. What do you say? Amen. We are thankful. We are thankful. I know that there are those, I don't think it is here, but you know, when communion services are on, then church membership dips, or the attendance, I should say, rather, dips. But I'm glad to see here at Watford Town that that is the opposite. Amen. That is something good to see. I suppose that, you know, whenever we think about a communion service, it is an opportunity for deep reflection. And I suppose, you know, when we made the announcement that we are going to have our communion service, and that's, I believe, one of the reasons why we would ensure to announce the communion at least ahead of time. And that is that it will give you and I the opportunity to make mental preparation. Spiritual preparation. If not, this service will only be but going through an exercise, a ritual. And thus, it will have no benefit to us. I am thankful that Jesus is the epitome, the example of what it means to forgive. I am thankful. He is the epitome. As read in our scripture passage, and thank you, my dear brother, for reading. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. They parted his raiment and they cast lots. I'm not going to take the time to really go through what happened there at the cross. The issue, the point that I want to actually raise here is that in the midst of what you and I will never be called to go through in our entire lives, Jesus went through. And he was able to say, Father, is our example. And that's why I thought that I would use this as the header text this afternoon. So it is entitled, To Forgive. Let's pray. Again, Heavenly Father, we just want to commit into your hands this hour. This is your hour. And this instrument is yours. Father, I pray that you will be glorified in this hour. That our own concepts will be challenged, shaken, stirred. And that, Father, our desire would be to be like Jesus. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayer. In the name of Jesus, amen. To forgive. From the biblical perspective, is all-encompassing, comprehensive, complete. This word forgive in the King James Version would appear approximately 85 times. 85 times. And in the Hebrew and the Greek, is actually broken down into four categories. These four categories are: one, to forgive means to cover. To forgive, secondarily, means to lift up. To forgive means to let go. And to forgive means to let off. Four main categories that we find in the 85 uses of the word forgive in the King James Version. I want to have a look at these four. The first we're going to look at is to cover. To forgive means to cover. That's the word, the Hebrew word, kafar. That means being willing to treat. And see, when we look at the word forgive, that's why I'm just saying the word forgive is all-encompassing biblically. To forgive is to cover. That means being willing to treat with grace, though undeserving. An example of this is in Psalm chapter 78, verses 37 to 39. And David, recounting the journey of the children of Israel, says the following: "For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath, for he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. So to forgive in the first instance here is to cover, that word kafar, which is to treat, or being willing to treat, the other with grace, though undeserving. Important for us to understand, because that's what Jesus did. While we were yet what? Christ died. While we were yet enemies of his, we were undeserving, but Jesus reached out and he offered grace. We didn't deserve it, but he did so. So that's kafar, forgiveness. To cover, though undeserving. The second, to forgive means to lift up. To forgive means to lift up, and that Hebrew word is nasa. And that means to elevate the person from the mess they made. To elevate the person from the mess they made. An example of this is in Psalm chapter 32 and verse 5. David said of God, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou, and there's a word, forgavest. That word is nasa, which means to lift or elevate the person from the mess they made. Here we see, David said, I acknowledge my transgressions, I confess them unto the Lord, and you, God, lifted me up from the mess that I made. So to forgive, number one, is to cover. That word is kafar. Secondly, to forgive means to lift up. That is the word nasa. Third, to forgive is to let go. To let go. That means to set the person free from your heart. Are you hearing me? An example of this is in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. We know this well. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and here it is, and will set the person free. That's what Jesus is saying. I will set the person free from my heart. So, to forgive is number one, to cover. Say that with me. To cover. To forgive, number two, is to lift up. To forgive, number three, is to let go. So to cover means being willing to treat with grace, though undeserving. That's kafar. Second, to forgive is to lift up. That's nasar. That means to elevate the person from the mess they have made. And thirdly, to forgive is to let go. That is to set the person free from your heart. The fourth is from the Greek word aphiemi. That means to let off. So in other words, when I forgive, then the words, my words, and my actions indicate that I no longer hold their offense against them. You see the comprehensive nature of forgiveness biblically. An example of that is found in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. We know this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, that's the word there, aphiemi, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So forgiveness, my brothers and sisters, is comprehensive. Every communion service we attend and we participate in is a reminder of God's willingness to cover my sins. That's kafar, where he will treat me with grace, though I'm undeserving. He will lift me up. He will elevate me from the mess that I have made. He will set me free in his own heart. And he would let me off. He will never treat me according to my actions. He would let me off. By his words and actions show that he no longer holds my sin against me. That's what Jesus would do. You know, there's a saying that says, freely we receive. Finish it for me. Come on, say it, even if your lips are unwilling. Freely we receive, freely give. We too must cover up. We must lift up. We must let go free. We must let off. This is expressed in the prayer that Jesus prayed in response to the request of the disciples. Lord, teach us how to pray. And among the words of Jesus, we find the following important sentence. Those of you who know the Lord's Prayer very well. And forgive us our trespasses as and that's the important word, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And Jesus emphasized further the gravity of this parable, the gravity of this forgiving discipline in the parable that he told of the unforgiving servant. We find this in Matthew 18, 21 to 35. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 70 times? And Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And as he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay you back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him but 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. And his fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it all back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. And when the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged. And they went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay all that he owed. Now here is a clincher verse. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Lesson: we must forgive others their sin against us. If we want our sins against God to be forgiven. It is likely that in this congregation today are individuals who need to be forgiven by you. They need to be covered by you. The kafar forgiveness, to treat them with grace, though undeserving. They may need to be lifted up by you, the nasar forgiveness, to elevate them from the mess that they made. They may need to be set free by you, the salak forgiveness, to set them free in your own heart. Or they may need to be let off by you, that's the FME. By your words and your actions, you show that you no longer hold the sin against them. That was how Jesus forgave me. And I pray that by the grace of God, as I ask God to forgive me, so I am willing to forgive my brother or my sister. That is what this is all about. In a few moments, we're going to separate for the washing of one another's feet. Typically, we would choose those that we like. Those who we are comfortable with. Now, I suppose for the sake of not exposing any alienation that may well be out there, we would do what we would normally do. But I want to put a challenge out to you, to all of us. There is someone you may know that needs this comprehensive forgiveness that comes to your mind right now. You can see them. If we want, as we go to our knees and we say, Lord, have mercy upon me and forgive me. Forgive me of my sins and my wrongs. But we are holding someone else up in our chest. We need to get this right. Otherwise, we're making a mockery of our communion service. I pray that we today will catch a fresh glimpse of the comprehensive forgiveness of God. And it would lead us to want to reach out to those who may well need to be forgiven by us. Let us separate for the ordinance of humility. I believe that we'll just get some instructions from Richard as to where those of you who are maybe visiting with us will go, but just to let you know that we do serve open communion. We're inviting any of those of you who understand what this is all about. You are free to join. So at this time, I'll just invite our first elder.